My scripture lessons today are taken from two passages in the New Testament. One of those is on the bulletin cover that Dan mentioned, and I'm glad you mentioned how lovely that bulletin cover is. I thought it was extra beautiful, and I love the message of reflection. You know, we are reflecting at this time. We always do, don't we? At the turn of a year, we reflect back on 2020. We think, how do we live our lives? How has this year been? You know, I hear so many people speak with regrets about 2020 as if it was a wasted year. And then many people are now having dread about 2021. And they're just letting COVID-19 control their life. And I have a better message, a better way. I'm going to ask you to reflect upon God's word and how God's word can have a transforming impact on your life. I'm going to ask you first to reflect upon how Scripture must be our only standard of truth and goodness. And then I'm going to ask you to reflect upon your life and whether you are conforming to the standard of God's word. And finally, I want you to reflect about a resolution. I'm going to challenge you to resolve this next year, 2021, to be transformed by God's word. So let's hear our scriptures, and then I will talk more about those three things in a moment. First of all, from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And the Apostle Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And now for the next lesson from Philippians, and I think it really leads in because he's talking about what's good, acceptable, and perfect. And then to the Philippians, Paul writes this. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things." So may he now add his blessing to this, his holy and infallible word. And as I said previously, I want to challenge you to reflect today and throughout this next year as to what is your standard. What is your standard of truth in your life? The greatest crisis America faces right now is not COVID-19. When I look at what is happening in our country, the divisions, the turmoil that we have both in the church, in the political realm, in our families that are being torn apart, it all focuses not on some pandemic, some virus, but it focuses in on the truth. What is true? You know, that question that Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? What is true? It's a question that's always been before humanity. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were faced with that question. God had made it very clear to them how they were to relate to the creation. They were free to eat of the fruit of the trees of every tree in the garden save one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God made it plain to them what they were to do. And then what do we read happens? The serpent came in, that sly, slippery serpent, and he starts putting doubt in their minds. Did God really say? In other words, is it really true? Is it true what God says? Maybe you should have another standard of truth. You know, that's the question. It's before each and every one of us. It's a question that will cause you to fall into sin or into righteousness? It is the question that determines whether a man behind a pulpit is a heretic or not, or a denomination is apostate. It is the question that determines whether a nation is under God's blessing or under God's curse. It is a question that determines whether 2021 is going to be a year that's a success, a good year for you, or a year that is wasted. What is your standard of truth? You know, once we had a nation which was, for the most part, in agreement that standard was God's word. But those days are long gone. The culture in which we live in, the cultural air which we breathe, it's a culture that is against the standards of God's word. We're educated in worldliness. We grow to maturity in worldliness. We live and work in a community that is worldly. What we watch on TV for our news or entertainment, for the most part, it's worldly. It is against God's standard. Jesus felt this was such an important issue that on the night that he was betrayed, one of his prayers for his church is found in John chapter 17, verse 17. And he prayed this for us: sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. To be sanctified is to be set apart, to be prepared to serve God and to have fellowship with God. That, in a nutshell, is what Paul is speaking of in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where we read, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I kind of don't like the last phrase, the way the ESV translated that. You look at other versions, I think it more accurately captures what the original language was in the Greek, where it says that this is your spiritual service. And the word service there is the same word in the Greek language that's used for the service that the Levites would use as they would serve God in the temple courts. In other words, what Paul is saying is that we are priests of God, that we are given a task. We're set apart like the priests, the Levites were set apart for fellowship with God and service to God, and that we need to be prepared for this. That's what our catechism teaches us, isn't it? In the very first question, it says that humanity's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what we're created for. That's what we're made for. However, when we aren't conformed and when we're not transformed by God's word, we're unfit for that service. And so I urge you, reflect in these coming days as we approach this new year, to ask yourself in an honest way, what is my standard? Am I relying on God's word, or am I going to the world for my standard of truth, for deciding what's good, what's excellent, what's pure, what's acceptable? That brings us to the second point, that of conformity that we read about in Romans 12. I want to challenge you to reflect in these waning days of 2020, to reflect on your conformity to the standard of God's word. This requires honesty, folks. This requires honesty. We are a part of a denomination, and we are a part of a congregation that, for the most part, is not ashamed to say that the only standard, the only rule for faith and practice is the Word of God. We just confess that in the second question and answer, the shorter catechism. And yet, how often do our actions testify otherwise? You know, it's one thing to make a confession with our lips. It's another thing to actually live out that confession. Are we really conformed to the standard of God's Word? Or are we being conformed to the world? In that first point, I talked about the standard that we're just kind of soaking up by osmosis, by living in this culture. Does our family life reflect the standard that's in God's Word? Or does our family life reflect the world standard? Does the way we conduct ourselves in business, does it reflect the jungle of the business world? Or does it reflect the standards of integrity that God lays out in His Word? You know, I could go on and on, but I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we oftentimes make excuses for fudging on God's standard because, quite frankly, we don't want to be those who stick out. We want to belong. You know, there's something within each and every one of us that longs to be a part of a greater community. This is part of God's image. We are a part. We are created to be a part of a community, but unfortunately, sin has broken up the community of humanity, and it's all fractured in our society. You know, I can remember as a little second grader crying my eyes out on the floorboard of the back seat of my mom and dad's Fury 3 sedan. And if those of you who are my age or older, you remember those cars. You could have a sedan that had more room in the back seat than most station wagons do today. And so there was plenty of room for me to be on the floorboard crying my eyes out. And why was I crying my eyes out? Because I didn't feel like I belonged. I felt that other kids at school just didn't accept me. Whether that was true or not, that's the way I felt. And you know, as I've grown older, met more people and talked with more people, I think I've learned that that's the way all of us have felt at least one or two times in our life, that we just didn't belong, and it broke our heart. And I think that is the thing that makes us compromise our standards more than anything else. Because we realize that if we conform our lives to God's Word, the world's not going to like us. It's going to reject us. Jesus was quite clear about this, and again, that night that he was betrayed, he was trying to be honest with them. He says, look, they hated me, and they're going to hate you. You know, there's a movement in the church today. It's called progressive Christianity. And by the world standards and in the world, it is really popular. Why is it so popular? Because it conforms to the world and doesn't conform to God's Word. It takes courage, folks, to conform to God's Word. And we need to ask ourselves, reflect, am I conforming to that Word or are we not? Which brings us to the next question, that is of transformation. And as you reflect upon these things I've said, I hope that you would reflect on whether you should be resolving this year to be transformed by God's Word. There's a lot of things you're going to be thinking about, what resolutions I'm going to make. Well, I'm going to urge you to make this resolution. Be transformed by God's Word. I'm actually confident that there's nothing that'll have a more positive impact upon your life again. Let's take a look again at Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, as it's there before us. Look at those words. Think about it for a moment. Isn't it saying that everything that God teaches us in his word is true? And that's what we need to be thinking about, the true things? And by necessary implication, as the Westminster Confession says, the opposite is also true, that anything contrary to Scripture is false. It's not true. Or honorable, that everything the Bible teaches is honorable. Consequently, anything that's contrary to God's word is dishonorable. Everything the Bible teaches is just. But consequently, everything that is contrary to God's word is unjust. Now, I could go on throughout that whole verse, that list, but I think you get the idea. And the challenge before us is, will we allow Scripture to transform our thinking? You know, the battleground to our heart really begins in our mind, doesn't it? It's what we choose to think about, what we choose to recognize as the true and the good and the beautiful, which should always be God's word. When we fill our minds with the things that this world values and teaches, what are we really filling our minds with? Isn't it just trash? It's really trash, garbage. But when we fill our minds with the thoughts of Scripture, then I ask you, what are you filling your mind with? Well, Scripture tells us, pure gold, pure gold. Listen to David's words in Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Doesn't that sound good? Don't you want your soul revived? Well, where do we find it? In the Word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Do you want to have a great 2021? Then keep God's word, because there is a great reward. But let me just give you this word of advice. Don't take this challenge lightly. Like every resolution, it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some good old stick-to-iveness, as they would say. Because if you've ever learned anything about a resolution, you just don't make that decision on New Year's Day and then say, well, it's done with. Got it. You know, I'm going to lose. You know, you used to be Weight Watchers, Vicky. You say, you know, all these root. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And then you make that decision. Well, that's only the beginning. Well, when you make the decision to be transformed by God's word, it's only the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, we read this. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. It takes constant practice to conform our minds to the word of God. This is a meat and potato message with a good helping of vegetables thrown in for good measure. It takes a little bit of stoutness. This is not pablum, but by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, I can say this with all confidence, that God will help you digest the most solid of food. And why am I so confident? Because as we've been reading here Isn't it evident this is God's will for your life? I mean, back to that illustration about losing weight. I have no idea whether or not that would be a God-pleasing resolution for you to make in 2021 or not. Under certain circumstances and by discerning certain things from God's word, I can imagine in some circumstances that would be a very good God-glorifying thing for some people to do, that is to lose 20 pounds. But for other people, maybe motivated by vanity or the desire to be a people pleaser or whatever, it really is not a resolution that God would approve of. But this resolution I'm talking about, this resolution to be conformed by God's word, this we can know with absolute certainty. This is God's will for our lives. And if it's God's will for our lives, He, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will provide the grace by which we need to fulfill this resolution. So dare to be bold in 2021. Dare to think God's thoughts after Him. Give your heart and your mind and your whole being to conform to the beauty of God's word. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, may you make this next year a year that's pivotal in our lives. I thank you for the saints that are here watching and here in person. And I know many of them, and I've seen through the years how you have been conforming them to your word. And for that, I give you thanks. But it's probably also true for all of us here that we have a long ways to go, all of us. And we need to recommit ourselves to conforming ourselves to your word. So may we be faithful to attend ourselves to reading it, to hearing it, to attending church and making sure that we sit under the godly expository preaching of the word. May we not be idle hearers, but those who take what we hear and put it to practice. And oh God, may we be thankful hearers, as David was, as he expresses that so well in Psalm 8:19. This is the joy and the pleasure he had in your word. May you create that in our hearts this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's respond.